Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the newest edition of the Land O' Lakers podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. As we record, Andy, on Sunday evening, tons of stuff going on. First of all, they got that boat loose.
Yes.
They're starting to loosen that boat in the Suez Canal, so that's good news for everyone, I think.
Well, particularly the people on the boat. I mean, you and I, in all honesty, as much as we obviously wanted to see a safe resolution to this, our lives are going to go on no matter how long that boat was stuck in the Suez, but it is definitely a nice result for those people particularly.
The impact on global supply chains, Andy, would have been significant, and we would have had to devote a lot of the podcast to that, but now that the boat seems to be at least partially loose, we won't have to. The Lakers.
There goes that guest we booked.
Sorry, you've been bumped. The Lakers win a just horrible to watch game against the Orlando Magic on the heels of Friday. Was it Friday or Saturday when they played Cleveland? Friday's victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers in an equally horrendous game to actually view. But I think, Andy, you could argue, and maybe we will, these were two of the most important games the Lakers have played all year. So we'll talk about that. And of course, the big news Sunday, Andre Drummond agrees to join the Lakers. They announced that he will be signing after being bought out by the Cavs. So a lot to get into with that. But first, I want to let people know that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. March Madness is upon. Andy, it's UCLA and USC. They're both Woo-hoo! Still in it.
Yes.
Go USC. LA. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, right? Scores, odds, all that stuff. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Also, as always, the Land O' Lakers podcast brought to you by Delicious Pizza, two locations, West Adams, also in Hollywood. 20% off if you use the password Cam Brothers. You will be supporting a local business. You will be supporting the local business of a massive Laker fan. I was there this weekend, actually. Picked up some pizza as part of a big countdown for my daughter's birthday. It was great, as always. So, again, Delicious Pizza, two locations, West Adams and in Hollywood. 20% off if you use the password Cam Brothers.
All right. So, you wouldn't think the two games against two of the worst teams in the NBA would be this important, but the way the Lakers, where they are right now, without Anthony Davis for what looks like, you know, he's starting on court work, the Lakers said this week, LeBron James, they're still not even talking about it, you know, mid-April, you know, seems optimistic, I think, at this point. So it's probably a couple weeks, it looks like, before those guys are back, at least one of them. And the Lakers have a tricky schedule coming up, and they've shown that it's going to be hard for them to win a lot of games. If they had lost to Orlando and Cleveland, or even one or the other, I know what you had said last week when we talked about this, that you weren't as worried about them falling into that 7 or 8 seed to potentially end up in the play-in game. If they lose these games, or even one of them, it becomes much more, I think, part of the conversation, but by winning them, they give themselves at least a little bit of cushion over these next 10 games, which are pretty hard.
Well, and especially too, it's important that they won this game tonight against Orlando on a night where both Phoenix, who, if the Lakers want to try to rise back up in the standings they're chasing right now, but also Portland, those teams both won. Portland right now is a game and a half behind them. So they maintain some cushion. They're currently 5 games ahead of San Antonio for that 7 spot. So they did themselves some favors. And like you said, I mean, they have to win every game that is winnable. And even with the roster as currently constructed, I mean, you know, they kicked the crap out of Cleveland. They actually, as much as that game was ugly to watch.
No, they were, that was a decisive win. Absolutely.
Right. It was decisive. And then this game against the Magic was closer than it should have been. But the bottom line is they beat that trash team. And it's the same win if they win by.
God, that's a bad team. Oh, my. I mean, side note. Oh, God, that's a bad team, Orlando. I mean, we were talking about this before we started recording. Is there anybody on that team that would be a top five rotation player on a halfway decent team?
Maybe Otto Porter Jr.
Maybe.
I think there is a chance that Porter could be that on like an 8 seed caliber team. I'll even say in the West. I'll even say Porter could be a top five team for your average, I mean, top five player for your average 8 seed team.
Sort of a glue guy, a filler, yeah, you know, exactly. Sort of do a bunch of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
But man, I mean, look, to the Magic's credit, they want to be trash right now.
Yes.
And at the trade deadline, they trashified the shit out of themselves. What they did in their own right was actually pretty impressive. They traded away anybody who's any good.
Yeah. And it just, you know, that you can see what they got back, which just lets you know. What they had wasn't that impressive anyway. So, but yeah, you know, it's a game and a half the Lakers have over Denver and Portland for the 5th and 6th spots. I don't think they hold on to that. I think when LeBron and or AD come back, I think they'll be a 6 seed at that point. But what I think these wins, you said, they're now 5 games ahead of San Antonio, 5.5 ahead of Dallas. That's a decent size cushion. You look at the schedule going forward. It's the Bucks on Wednesday, the Kings, who cannot decide if they're supposed to be good or bad. You know, they lose 8 in a row. They win 6 in a row. And right now they're playing well. Then it's the Clippers, the Raptors, who do kind of suck. Miami, the Nets, the Knicks, the Hornets. So it's like it's a tough go. And you end up on the road for a while. So really, really significant wins, I thought, for the Lakers over the weekend. Over trash teams, but that's kind of where they are. Do you pull anything away from how they're playing, what they're doing? I don't, other than I think it's impressive that they play hard.
They definitely play hard. I mean, this is a team that will not. The only time I've ever seen them during this stretch without LeBron and AD look like they sort of gave up was that loss to the Pelicans, where I think it just dawned on them really quickly. Holy shit, this team is so much bigger than us, because at the time they didn't have Gasol either.
Right.
So they're playing without AD, Gasol, and LeBron, and they're just like, there's a...
That was when we were still pretending that we didn't know that Marc Gasol had COVID.
God, yeah, I know. It's been official. He confirmed that he had it.
He confirmed it.
Yeah, you know, it was great when the league made this announcement that since the All-Star break, I think that was the time frame.
For people who don't know, every, what is it, week or 2 weeks or whatever it is, they release the results of the league-wide testing. Right.
And they announced that there was only one player who had contracted COVID. And I remember I texted you, I have a pretty strong suspicion. I know who that player is.
I think I have an idea.
And, you know, Gasol has said that it kicked his ass and it's been difficult for him to get back in. But, you know, that game against New Orleans, I think they recognized really easily there are things that we simply cannot do against this team and we're not going to be able to stop doing to us. It's interesting. Individually, there are guys who actually have been doing some good stuff during this period. Trez and Dennis Schroeder as the two best players on the Lakers, or I think the two most prolific players on the Lakers.
The two best. That's, you know, they're both of those things.
I think they've actually played largely very well during the stretch. Kyle Kuzma's playmaking has actually been a thing when they needed somebody to provide some type of facilitating. You know, Wes Matthews has had some games where he shot better, scored a little more. You know, Markieff Morris has had some good games. The problem is, though, they don't have the type of star talent that you need to push everything over the top or really lead you somewhere.
Right. And they still have the same basic issues that they had before in terms right. of the shooting still sucks. I mean, against mm-hmm. Orlando on Sunday, they were 11 of 40.
And they still turn the ball over constantly. Right. I mean, these were things that they did with LeBron and AD. The difference is you can get away with it more when you've got two top five players on the team.
Right. I think we talked to Jason Jones, who covers the Kings and the NBA for The Athletic, on Lily Nine Happy Hour one night. And this was after AD got hurt, and asked him kind of, what do you get out of this? Like, how can the Lakers gain value? What, and you know, he talked about like, there's going to be an 8 minute stretch in the playoffs where, you know, AD's in foul trouble and LeBron's got to sit down. Like, he can't play 48 minutes or whatever it is. And these guys will all have played together. They'll have some confidence. But I'm not sure that really applies necessarily as a group to this, because if LeBron and AD are both out for any meaningful stretch in the playoffs, it's just not going to work. I don't care if they have Andre Drummond, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I would like to think perhaps, though, that there is a little bit of residual value just in confidence. Like, if they ever did need Schroeder or Harrell to carry them or help carry them for a game, you know, a half, a quarter, whatever it might be, that those guys might have a little bit of a boost.
I don't think it can hurt. I think we've seen them do that anyway.
Yeah.
I think we've seen both of those guys play that type of role with LeBron and AD.
But even more so. I'm just saying, like, in situations where, you know, the pressure is higher, where the need is higher, I'm trying to find stuff that I think can go forward other than how many games do they win, how many games do they lose in terms of seeding.
I don't think a lot of these guys individually have been that terrible, or especially the guys that you know, you could reasonably say, all right, we'd count on.
I don't think they've been terrible at all.
Right. And that's something you can take away from this. It's just, you need stars in a star-driven league to win games. And when you have two stars that everything is built around, the whole thing becomes radically different. And by different, I mean worse.
In this particular case. All right. So speaking of stars, Andy, or all stars, or however you want to break it down, the Lakers have officially won the Andre Drummond sweepstakes. And I find the conversation around Andre Drummond to be fascinating. He is a two-time all-star. He does not suck. But at the same time, Andre Drummond is portrayed as a great player, a two-time all-star, the crown jewel of the buyout market, but also terrible. Like, he's great and terrible at the same time, depending on who you're talking to and how. It was not surprising that the Lakers ended up with him. I think this is sort of what people thought would be the inevitable outcome for a while. I think the Lakers get better. He's very talented. They improve their talent. I'm still not sure how he fits long term. Short term, though, I almost think you have to divide it into two sections. There's the before the guys come back section, and then the after the guys come back section.
Well, the before the guys come back section is just, they need more talent. They need more production.
Exactly.
And in particular, they need more scoring. And Andre Drummond can score. He has averaged at least 17 points per game the last three seasons. He hasn't been particularly efficient about it this last season in Cleveland, but this last season in Cleveland for him has been bizarre, to say the least.
To say the least.
So I'm willing to cut him a bit of slack. I mean, he's not efficient like in the way that, say, Dwight Howard was in his prime,
a
small sample size last year. But he is definitely a talented offensive guy. He is a really talented rebounder. And
particularly offensive rebounds.
Yes, and that's something actually the Lakers, they're currently a middle-of-the-pack offensive rebounding team. Until this season, Andre Drummond has been first or second in the NBA every year since his rookie year for total offensive rebounds. He's led the league offensive rebounding percentage multiple seasons. And, you know, he's a great rebounder, period. And, you know, whether you're talking about being able to get cheap points on putbacks or defensively, that ability to grab rebounds and then help start the break, you know, where the Lakers are at their best defensively, offensively, I should say, I think having that ability on the glass is going to be really helpful for this team.
Yeah.
So,
just to build on that point, I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about it a ton. They are not a team that gets a lot of these of cheap points, particularly right now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the 4 or 5 offensive rebounds a night that he gets, if that leads to 2 or 3 putbacks, if that leads like this, they desperately need those 6 to 8 points that can come off of these offensive rebounds.
Remember the way we used to see with JaVale and Dwight last year.
Yes. They badly need it.
Yeah, that was a big function for those two guys. So I think in that sense, you can see the immediate help Drummond's going to provide. He's also, I think, an underrated playmaker. Like the last,
he's not a bad passer.
Yeah, the last several seasons, he's averaged around 3 assists per game, which is definitely respectable for a center. You know, he's done some high post facilitating, like kind of what you'd look for in Gasol. And I think he also may be more willing to just do some stuff offensively than we've seen from Gasol, period. Like Marc Gasol, as much as you and I have both said, like people are missing what he does defensively. And, you know, they just want the aesthetics that Dwight and JaVale had last year. But the reality is Gasol's been good defensively. He's been disappointing offensively. I mean, like he just has not made his presence felt at all. And I think Drummond, if nothing else, is just going to provide some dimension overall offensively that the Lakers have not had from Gasol. And as a team that struggles more to score than defend, they need it.
Yeah. And so I want to talk more about what you think it'll look like, what we think it'll look like when everybody comes back. But like I said, I feel like this is a two-section kind of deal. Like there's the however many games, 10, 15, whatever it is, before the other guys are back on the floor, where I don't want to make Drummond a focal point of the offense, because like you don't want to be running, like dropping the ball in the post for him. And like he's been horribly inefficient for basically his entire career doing that kind of thing. But it adds a lot of talent. It adds, you know, like I said, that offensive rebounding, the guy who can pass. He's a good player and they need good players.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry. It's just I blanked out, but like and these games matter. Like it is, if they can win an extra 2 or 3 games over 10 or 12 or whatever, that could be the difference between a 5 and a 6, a 6 and a 7. Making sure that you don't have to rush LeBron and AD back, or that something weird doesn't happen. Dallas gets really hot, and they, you know, whatever it might be. Because while I still think the Lakers would be fine and they'd make it through the play-in, you don't want to be in there. And so, you know, if Drummond helps them win an extra 2 or 3 games, and that's the margin to keep them out of the play-in tournament, to me, I think that's enough right there to make this a winning signing, regardless of what happens in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then, like, as far as the idea of what happens once LeBron and AD are back, I remember you and I, because the Lakers have been linked to Drummond for a while. You and I have talked about this before.
Going back to last year, even.
And I'd said that with this team, he felt like not necessarily a clean fit. I'd have brought him in anyway, just because you want talent. And if you can bring in a guy of his talent, and assuming he's willing to take whatever role you're telling him is going to be that role, he's willing to do it, take him. I'm starting to think it's more clean now when he comes back, because I'm getting the sense that he's going to end up starting. You know, Adrian Wojnarowski for ESPN reported that was one of the things that they sold him on. And I'm getting more and more of a sense that Gasol is going to end up getting squeezed. And, you know, there may be certain matchups where Mark comes in handy or handier than Trez, I guess, or, you know, maybe that defensive presence that, you know, he's a better defender than Andre Drummond. He's a better overall defender.
Finish your thought. We'll come back to defense.
I think it's going to be cleaner now, because I am starting to wonder whether or not Vogel will even have as much to juggle as I would have thought he would have 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Right.
You know, it was interesting Friday before the Cleveland game when, you know, there were a lot of rumors and a lot of reports that Drummond signing with the Lakers was inevitable. And Vogel was asked about this, and Vogel, you know, couldn't talk specifically about, or I guess at that point, actually, he may have been able to, because I think Drummond may have been officially bought out, but
he wasn't Frank going Vogel, to anyway. Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, Vogel, this is one of the things, Brian, that actually gives me some hope that maybe AD may be closer than we realize. Like Vogel tonight, when Andre Drummond was officially with the Lakers, would not reveal the conversation points between him and Drummond when it came to just talking about his role. And like, you know, hey, what might you think Andre Drummond would do on this team? What did you guys talk about? He's like, you know, these are locker room private conversations I'm not going to reveal. So in that sense, you know, AD could be ready Wednesday. Like, it really might be. I mean, Vogel does not reveal a damn thing. So like that gives me a little bit of hope. Like these things sound really ominous with AD until you realize like Vogel lets us know nothing. Like
the joke that we used to make, like this, like Frank, are you wearing pants today? I'm not getting into those kinds of details.
Anything that could be construed even vaguely as, you know, that's part of the locker room, you know, locker room culture, team culture, won't reveal anything.
Nope. Or something said strategically could be used by the team that they're playing.
But he was asked about this, and you know, and sort of like, you know, what if, say, you added a big man, like, you know, how would that change things? How would you handle, you know, Mark and Trez? And he said something to the effect of Mark and Trez are our centers right now, which reminded me very much of a couple months ago when Les Snead, the general manager of the Rams, referred to Jared Goff as the quarterback of the team right now. And then literally said, like, what's today's date? And for those not keeping up with the Rams, Jared Goff's now in Detroit.
Yes.
He plays for the Lions, and they traded him for Matt Stafford. So it felt to me like Vogel was qualifying sort of the place that both Mark and Trez would have. But Trez hasn't done anything that would make you take him out of the lineup. He's been way too good.
It's also the contrast. I mean, I think ultimately you're right. Well, first of all, Trez is too good. It's like doing what he does is, you know, like he is a guy who is for the last 3 or 4 seasons has annihilated backup centers. Like that's what he does in this league particularly well. And you know, he's played more against starting units with these guys out of late, but generally speaking, like that's how he's made his living, is just throttling backups and, you know, smaller players, whatever it might be. And like just really thriving in the stuff that he does well. And there's no reason to switch that out. You know, Drummond is much closer to Gasol, like you said before, in terms of how he profiles and how he plays anyway. So those you would suspect that those two guys, because they are more similar, Gasol obviously more of an outside threat than Drummond, who is not even slightly somebody who can shoot from mid-range or beyond. But aside from that, here's the part that I wonder about also in terms of how it works when everybody comes back. Drummond is not likely to be a Laker next year. I realize we went through this with Markieff Morris. You know, the Lakers had a limited amount of money they could sign with him at the center market, down or not. Andre Drummond is going to make more than whatever it is the Lakers can pay him next year, unless wants to stay. He's not going to be here. That gives the Lakers a little bit of flexibility. They don't have to appease him in any meaningful way. So if there is a series where Trez works better, or Gasol's defensive ability is more valuable, they can do that. And then beyond that, I'm not even sure Drummond necessarily thinks he can play himself into a monster. Maybe he does. A lot of times these guys are. But I mean, I think that the league knows what Drummond is, and the market's going to be what the market. I don't see. I don't. I don't know how much he can do with the Lakers to change the perception of who he is in the league and make himself a bucket load more money than he it was going to anyway. I could be wrong, but that's my perception.
Here's what I can think of. He's always been dismissed as an empty calories player who doesn't help you win. If he is part of a title run, like if he plays a legitimate role in a title run where you look at him and say, Andre Drummond made a difference.
Shows skills that you did defensively. For like Drummond, for like talking about the defense, is always been a guy who you have to sort of choose between is can he not do it or does he just not give a shit? And this would be a situation where he's going to care and he's going to be much more invested. So if he shows he plays defense with the Lakers, that's the kind of thing you're talking about. Where okay.
Well, I mean, just we've seen this before. Like, look, it's not apples to apples because you know this guy I think was considered a more skilled player and had been a part of more winning teams. But look at like what happened with Rasheed Wallace when he ended up with the Pistons. You know, he had had several years where even though he was productive with the Blazers and he was part of some good playoff runs, he was considered a head case. He was considered impossible to have on your team, impossible to coach. You know, he got banished to Atlanta for like a day, then moved to Detroit.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And then he ended up an indelible part of that Pistons culture.
Right. Different kind of player because Sheed was always respected for like his basketball IQ.
Kyle Lowry. Look at the way Kyle Lowry changed his entire perception, you know, once he went to Toronto. There was a period where Kyle Lowry was considered an absolute head case. And again, like Sheed, impossible to coach. We've talked to Lowry about this. He's said it. Yeah, I was a pain in the ass back then.
Yeah.
You know,
under those circumstances, I could see the market widening for Drummond where more good teams are like, yeah, you know what? It's worth picking up. And that matters. But I just, you know, the days of Andre being a guy who's going to get a $26 million contract, or I mean, that's just not going to happen. I think I think the Lakers do have some flexibility there that if they need to play Gasol for a series, cause it works better. Then they can. They need the floor stretching ability. Then they can, because ultimately he's not going to be. Something would have to either go really, really, really right in the sense that he just decides he doesn't care about getting paid and wants to try to win two or three in a row, which great, okay, or horribly wrong for Drummond for him to be priced back into being a Laker next year. So Nekias Duncan wrote about this and put up some interesting clips. When he comes back with AD, how they get him out of the block and up into the high post to move the ball around is going to be really important so that AD isn't always floating on the perimeter. And that's where that passing ability that you talked about could come in handy. Like you say, underrated passer. So maybe the fit there is better if the other guys can shoot. And I think that's the big problem. It's less about AD and Drummond together as it is, can anybody space the floor? And right now, nobody on the Lakers can space the floor.
Well, look, there's an opportunity for some people around the league to learn things they don't know about Andre Drummond. And Brian, here's something you may not know about me. I don't sleep well. I'm always looking for new ways to get my shit together when it comes to sleep. I know a really relatable problem, but it plagues me. But fortunately, I found Sunday Scaries and realized they make products specifically for people like me who cannot sleep and desperately want to. Sunday Scaries are CBD gummies. They help me decompress, clear my head, fall asleep, so I can actually wake up a fully functioning human being. And there's no risk to buy. The company offers a 100% lifetime money-back guarantee. If the product's not for you, that's okay. You'll get your money back. Sunday Scaries, they're in the stress-relieving business, not the stress-causing business. And I got you 25% off to prove it. Visit sundayscaries.com. Use my promo code LAKERS for your discount. Promo code LAKERS, 25% off sundayscaries.com. They are amazing. You will not regret joining their squad.
I tell you what, you may struggle with sleeping. You do not struggle with sex. That was excellent. That was very clean and unexpected.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's because of the Sunday Scaries, that I'm alert enough.
You're so clear-headed to do that, right?
Yes, before the Sunday scares, never could have pulled that off.
Is there anybody else? Like, is the Gorgui Jang was a name that sort of was out there that a lot of this is almost a basketball wonk versus just sort of casual observer. Kind of like most people would look at me like Andre Drummond, like he's been an all-star, like Gorgui Jang is a career backup. And the basketball wonks look at it and be like, yes, Gorgui Jang is a better fit because he can step outside and hit a three. He's already a backup. He's not going to expect a start. He doesn't upset the apple cart. I still would take Drummond because I just think ultimately get a better player and like is it's all it feels choosing Jang, who's not a bad player, feels a little bit sort of almost too cute by half. Like you're just trying a little too hard to avoid the, you know, to look smart, I guess. And so I still would have taken, but what is there an argument to be made there that is that he's a better fit, better player, better idea?
That's the argument. The Lakers really can't shoot as a team, and they could use more guys who can step out, and Jang's been killing it from outside.
That being said, it's like in the 40s.
That being said, I would have taken Drummond too. I just think Drummond offers you more ways that he can help, you know, and, you know, Gasol has been trending in a direction where you wonder if they might have needed to take him out of the lineup anyway. And Trez is not an option, I think, to start against a lot of centers in this league.
No.
And you're not going to start AD at the five. So in that sense, they may have needed somebody. I think overall they might need wing help more than they need big man help, but Jang's not a wing anyway.
That was the other thing I wanted to ask you before we move on to one more thing I wanted to cover. They do have one more roster spot, and actually on Sunday played against a guy in Otto Porter who is, they say, potentially going to be out on the buyout market. He actually strikes me as an excellent fit. Very low volume shooter. Good at a lot of different things. Doesn't need to be great for your team, but smart player. Like he seems like an ideal fit if they could bring him in.
Oh yeah. I think he'd make a ton of sense. If he's actually going to end up available, I think the Lakers should definitely consider him. I'll tell you another guy who's available, and I know you don't like him, Brian, but I would at least consider him, is Austin Rivers. He ended up getting bought out by OKC.
For free? Basically?
Yeah. Sure. Basically for free. Well, you are staunchly anti-Austin
Rivers.
He's
an asshole.
You've been on record.
I mean, I don't know if he is personally. I've never met Austin Rivers.
Whenever I've talked with Austin, level, I have found him perfectly pleasant.
He might be a lovely human being outside of basketball. NBA player Austin Rivers is a dick. I'm not a fan.
But that being said,
I am not the only person who does not find Austin Rivers appealing on the floor.
No, you didn't come up with this on your own.
To his credit, he's not. He used to be pretty bad too. He's no longer a terrible NBA player.
Right,
he's pretty useful. And you know, I wouldn't sign him with a roster spot with, you know, use my mid-level exception or, you know, anything like that, but to fill out my roster on with a guy who, you know, is a vet minimum kind of deal. Yeah, I mean, it's one more. If nothing else, it's one more guy that they might be able to find one day who gets hot and can shoot a little bit. You know, shooting 36% from three this year.
He's not a
shot 35% last year. So
say what you will about Rivers, that dude does not get scared.
No, not at all. I don't think he's that
there
good.
There are times when people will say he should be a little more frightened.
Yes.
But nonetheless, he does not get scared at all. He is somebody that if he were available, you know, Porter makes more sense in terms of filling like a direct need. I think, you know, the
wing
like
defender,
in terms of size, yeah, wing defender, that sort of thing. But if Porter, for whatever reason, is not an option for the Lakers,
they're a three-point shooter too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I would consider Rivers. I would, if nothing else, I would investigate it.
Yeah, Porter actually would be a great fit.
Yeah, he would.
How old do you think Otto Porter is?
I'm guessing 28.
He's 27.
Okay.
God, it seems like he's been around a long time.
All these guys have been around a long time, including us.
Yeah. Well, he's almost 28. Plus, he's a St. Louisan. He's one of us. Nice.
There you go.
But yeah, he's a guy who shot 39% from three last year, 40% from three this year. Again, low volume shooter. He's actually almost ideal in that sense, like, you know, for the Lakers, because he's a guy who can take the shots that you need to have taken from 3-point range, but not necessarily is going to use up a lot of your volume. Moves well without the ball. Pretty good wing defender when he's healthy. He's never healthy. That's really the big issue.
That he manages, Brian, and you were touching on this, but to even put it out more explicitly, that he manages to hit outside shots without having to take a lot of them, that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of these guys need more shots in order to become comfortable. You know, he averages 40% on his career on three shots per game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's
those are like 1990s figures.
Yeah, that is difficult to do.
And he's a guy who has averaged, you know, 15, 16 points. Yeah. You know, so like if there's a game where you need him to score a little bit, he can. God, you know, that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'd forgotten about him.
Yeah.
So, but yes, it may make sense. What the hell does Orlando need to be playing Otto Porter Jr. for?
No, he might actually play well in a game and win.
Yeah, that's not really what they want. That. What a
really quick before we go, team. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned this with Andre Drummond. His nickname is the Big Penguin, and I wondered, like, where the hell did that come from? I did a little bit of research. I found this site, I've never heard of it before, called sportskita.com. So I can't vouch for the veracity, but the explanation was both very detailed and entertaining, so I'm going to present it as fact. Drummond is known as the Big Penguin. He received the nickname after revealing his favorite animal is a penguin. His former teammate, Greg Monroe, at one point linked to the Lakers himself.
Also nicknamed for an animal. He was the moose.
Yes, you are correct. Once asked Drummond his favorite movie, he responded, Happy Feet. Other favorites included March of the Penguins and Happy Feet 2. Drummond embraced the nickname and his love for penguins by doing things such as a video with a penguin costume on. He even had signature socks with the company's stance that featured his favorite animal. So it is safe to say Drummond loves penguins. It also makes sense, Brian, because the penguin is a flightless bird and Andre Drummond has never been known as a high fly act. So also, I just want to make sure people knew that.
Has an interesting habit of eating a lot of small fish and then vomiting that fish up to feed to children, as which, penguins do.
Yeah.
That's actually one of his less appealing things.
It makes parents very uncomfortable around Andre Drummond.
How about a photo? I'd be more comfortable with an autograph or even a dap. How about that?
Or an email, so I'm not in your presence.
That's disgusting. Thank you, but that's disgusting. I do want to ask you this before we go. People are very thick into the MVP conversation, mm-hmm. In part because LeBron is either out of it or not out of it, depending on your perspective. Do you consider LeBron missing 15 games, 20 games, whatever it turns out to be a disqualificatory thing for him? You know, you play 50 games in a 70 game season.
It would be pushing it.
Yeah. I think it is.
The cynical answer to this is, how much do you think LeBron deserves more than four MVPs? Because if the answer is a lot more, then I think people are going to be willing to make more allowances, because that has been part of the narrative that whether you agree with it or not, it has become a thing now that LeBron only has four MVPs and that he should have had more. And this could be
I'm not doing it for this year. I understand what you're getting at. I'm just, okay. So we'll say that. And then Joel Embiid kind of ran into the same problem in terms of missing games and whatever. Because you could argue he was slowly sort of overtaking LeBron anyway.
Well, he also has a problem that the Sixers have been really good without him.
Right. You do kind of need your team to turn to shit without you.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron's absence has really driven
home the value. I have noticed. There's still what? Like 25 games left in the season, give or take. Like, so it's like, who's the MVP? It doesn't matter who the MVP. I'd vote for Jokic right now. It doesn't matter. Here's my question. What do you do with James Harden? That is a vote nobody wants to give. Like, nobody around the NBA wants to give an MVP vote to James Harden after his behavior in Houston earlier this season.
It was unbecoming.
It was. Nobody wants to do this. But at some point, you have to start putting... So how much does his behavior in Houston matter? Like, should that be, in the same way that LeBron missing 20 games disqualifies him, should Harden be excluded from winning because not forcing his way out, but the way he forced his way out?
It's interesting. I mean, what helps Harden is that he wasn't with Houston so long this year that behavior, I think, became like a huge part of his overall season.
Yeah,
It becomes a big part of the story, but he wasn't actually with this. It's not like he was doing this shit for half a season before they finally moved him at the deadline. He's played the majority of his games, not only with the Nets, he's actually played as many games with the Nets as Kyrie Irving. Like, as of this recording, they have both played 31 games. He's played 12 more games than Kevin Durant. So it is important, as much as, you know.
Which, by the way, those are relevant numbers for why his MVP candidacy is so legit.
Sure, I agree. That's what I'm getting at. You could also look at, you know, as unseemly as his behavior was in Houston, and, you know, partying while his teammates were actually in training camp and ignoring all the COVID rules and, you know, really being an asshole about this.
And quite frankly, being a player that a lot of people didn't like watching, or anyway, like, even like at his peak in Houston, he's been a lightning rod kind of guy, even when he wasn't getting doughy and ignoring COVID regulations and all that.
That team was at least functional when James Harden was on it this season. They were not great. And it was very clear they were not going to win a championship, but they were at least a functional NBA team. He has since left. They have become one of the worst teams in recent memory. Like, they're putting forth.
Oh God, they're awful.
Like, they're putting forth historical losing streaks. You know, there are contextual things. Other guys have been hurt. COVID.
Right, but I mean, like, they did the reverse red paperclip exercise with all of their trade assets, where they like turned James Harden, like all those picks into like James Harden, into like Caris LeVert, into Victor Oladipo, into like two G leaguers. It's like, sure, the returns that they've gotten of this, like, maybe Harden just saw the writing on the wall. It's like, these people are terrible. Well, Vitamin Fertitta is awful.
Yes, he is. He is both a bad owner. He seems like kind of a bad person. And he also seems like somebody who does not have enough money to own an NBA team responsibly.
Tough time for the restaurant.
Look, you can look at what's going on with the Rockets now and say James Harden leaving left them like a shell of a shell of themselves. And then you go and look at the way he's playing in Brooklyn. He's been incredible. I mean, you know, I've been on record as somebody that doesn't really love watching Harden play, and I've never found him a particularly compelling or inspiring or in a lot of ways entertaining player. He's been unbelievable. I mean, you couldn't possibly take that away from him.
Like, watching, like, the more stuff so, he's doing right now in Brooklyn is fun. It's fun to watch. It is the opposite of everything people hate about him.
Yeah.
Do you think people will find reasons not to vote for him, or do you think he'll actually, by the end of the season, if he keeps doing what he's doing, LeBron sort of out of the race, Embiid probably out of the race, it's down. It looks right now like it's sort of Jokic, Lillard, him. You know, there's Giannis, I guess, if you could put himself back in it. Giannis has been absurd.
I don't think they're going to do it. He's not going to get three in a row. I personally think the whole, you know, Giannis or
no, I was talking about player. Harden.
No, I know, but I'm saying in terms of one of the things that's going to work in Harden's favor, Giannis, he's not going to get three in a row because people are going to hold his playoff performances against him, which I personally think is silly because it's not a playoff award. It's a regular season award, but we know how this works. he's not going to be a guy that gets three in a row without having gone to a without having won a title.
Right, because too many other good players haven't done it.
Right. I think if Denver can finish in the top four, maybe top three, I think Jokic has been unbelievable this year. And what he's doing is so singular, you know, at that position, not just this season, but historically. I think, and people enjoy watching Jokic and they don't enjoy Harden. I think Jokic will probably end up winning if Denver's a top three team. But I will say, if you're being fair about this, it is getting more difficult to ignore Harden. It just is.
As a Harden guy, I kind of like it. This story has kind of turned in this direction. Before we go, I want to tell you about our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether rare dead stock or the latest release, you find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. And with eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators and a team of experienced sneaker authenticators. They verify the box, the logo, the stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity, and it protects sellers with a verified return process. So for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers over $100, making it free to sell or flip your collection. So go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection.
It always reminds me whenever you hear about the meticulous inspection with these sneakers of when we discovered that all those kosher foods were under constant rabbinical supervision.
Mm-hmm. I suspect it's very similar.
And, you know, it's Passover, so that's on my
right.
mind.
And it wouldn't surprise me if there was some overlap there, if some guys did double duty.
It would actually surprise me a lot. Like a ton. It would if that's what one of the sneaker supervisors does as their moonlighting gig, it would frankly shock me.
What a great script that would be.
That is a really great script. We should write that one. Trademark pending.
Right. It feels niche-y.
Quite niche-y. It's like it's Soul of the Game meets Uncut Gems. That's a really weird pitch.
Meets Fiddler on the Roof, sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah, idle if I had a sneaker. Also, is there any leavening agent in that? I got to work on the lyrics. The libretto needs some work. But anyway, all right. So we'll see what happens with Andre Drummond if anybody else gets bought out this week. The Lakers obviously become a very appealing destination for the Otto Porters of the world. I expect them to fill out that last spot at some point. Lakers could still use a little bit of help. They need it now. They'll need it later. But it's starting to get a little interesting around here. And we will be back at some point to continue talking about it. And keeping you updated on our new screenplay. See everybody next time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.